Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com.
Hey, listeners, get yourself a brand new website with the help of Squarespace, an easy drag-and-drop do-it-yourself website platform with everything you need to create an exceptional website. Go to squarespace.com/cage, start a free trial, use the offer code CAMP when you decide to purchase, and you'll receive a 10% discount. That's squarespace.com/cage, offer code CAMP. Why CAMP? I don't know. Enjoy the show.
Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, all your favorite people in one movie, all not being funny. We saw Nothing But Trouble, and you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer. I'm joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Hi, Pop.
Terrific.
Joining us today, a very special guest. We've been meaning to have him on the show for a long time. Very funny guy. You know him from The League or his web series, Daddy Knows Best. Please welcome Steve Ranazzisi.
Thank you guys very much.
Boo!
Thank you. Thank you guys.
All right, so this movie...
Earn it, Ranazzisi.
So this movie, Nothing But Trouble, made in 1991, has been one of the most recommended movies to me for a long time. Now, I remember seeing it as a kid and liking it.
Oh, really?
Did?
Oh.
I think I did. I remember owning it on Laserdisc.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Laserdisc?
Laserdisc. My
what
dad had a
happening?
Laserdisc player because we were really cool.
Wow.
And I
get
would watch it.
You were rich.
Yeah, big time, guys. And I think I really liked it because Digital Underground was in it.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. I didn't remember a thing from this movie. And it's not a comedy, right? I mean, it's not... I mean, there's
no... Well, it thinks it's a comedy.
Oh, it definitely it wants to be a comedy.
But that is what's weird about it, is that there are so many things in this movie that are so horrifying. Like, truly...
Yes.
Yeah.
There are so many horrific... I'm not kidding. Like, there are things that are so upsetting. And so I wrote down a couple of times, I don't feel well.
I felt sick a little bit watching it, too. I was like, what?
Visuals.
Yeah, I felt ill.
The
just
visuals
the general...
oftentimes are...
Mustardy.
Disgusting.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah. Disgusting. And specifically, disgusting human beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Aykroyd's character... is like a melting candle of a man that looks like he is made of garbage, a flaky skin melting garbage man.
Well, we'll just set it up because it is a complicated premise.
He looks like a melted sandwich in a sweater vest.
Basically, I mean, if you want to, we can talk about all the specifics, but the basic gist of it is that Chevy Chase, Demi Moore. Get a traffic ticket.
It's my cousin Vinny.
You have to start a little bit further back.
Okay.
Because
it really doesn't even make
sense. That's what I'm obsessed with.
Oh, yeah.
Just the basic premise of
the setup.
Road trip.
How they all got together.
I really do want someone to explain it because I was baffled.
The first 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rest of the movie?
Yes. Two different things.
Yes. Two very different movies.
They spend so much time establishing a world that they simply drive out of.
Yeah.
Quickly. and it's so crazy because that first 15 minutes, you're like, it could have been a whole different movie. Like,
yeah.
Chevy Chase is this kind of out of touch rich guy. Demi Moore is this like fighting lawyer. And this whole world.
And
no.
Then Taylor Negron in the back.
Taylor Negron,
My thought about Taylor Negron and the sister was he just played it so that effeminately that they were like, okay, we have to make them brother and sister.
they
cannot be a couple. They cannot be a couple.
Their characters, the Brazilian characters, were. I could not even process what was happening when they were talking.
They made no... Yeah, no. No sense.
Okay,
nothing.
But the reason why... Okay, the whole reason for the season is Demi Moore's character, needs to. Her ex-boyfriend has cheated her out of money.
Yeah, she's a yes. lawyer, she's, and she got cheated out of a case. I think it was.
That's what I think it was too.
She was the lawyer for her. She was the like counsel for a man who then became her boyfriend.
Yes,
and then he dumped her.
By the way, very complicated. Yes.
By the way, I didn't understand
a man
that.
Who is never introduced.
Never. And
never
my
introduced.
Problem with that premise too is it's so complicated and so boring.
Oh,
uh-huh. Like both things. It's there's no emotional. She's
we don't
going,
see her get dumped. We just
no.
see her make a phone call.
I thought she was bipolar in the elevator. That's what I thought the movie was about because I had never
seen it. Oh, because
she
walks in and starts
so
crying.
So she's crying and then she's up and she's down. So I was like, oh, he's going to deal with a bipolar person.
Yeah. She cannot
that's
cry.
That's an interesting theory.
No,
by the way.
I don't know.
That's a really interesting alternate reading of the movie is that it's actually. Yeah. You know, like there's like, did you guys listen to there's a great. Podcast that is the guy talking Richard Kelly talking about Domino Tony Scott's Domino.
Oh yeah,
and it's all about that it's a fever dream. The movie itself is a fever
wow.
dream of somebody who is on drugs. And I was like, and maybe this is a movie of someone who is a bipolar.
Dealing with mental illness.
Like,
yeah.
Well, take a step back to say that this movie is directed by Dan Aykroyd.
Written
by Dan Aykroyd. And the story was by his brother, Peter Aykroyd,
yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd plays more than one character.
So at least they had a lot of opinions coming in.
A lot of outside feedback. So, okay, now Chevy Chase's character, they meet on an elevator.
Yes, Chevy Chase is not even a disillusion, just a very rich guy who's having a party in his honor, but he's a financial journalist. Yes, he's a financial journalist. He's like,
he writes like buy pork, sell gold.
Like, yeah. He just will give tips.
He just says shit like that. He's just a guy who puts out a newsletter giving investment advice. That's what he does.
And he's a mega rich guy.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the reason why they set off is because Demi Moore wants to go get her money back from this ex-lover.
She needs to get to Atlantic City.
She really just wanted to borrow the car. She was making that very clear.
What was
she's like,
that?
I just want to borrow your car. Then I'm thinking, well, she's going to steal this car, obviously. Yeah. Here's the lesson.
Don't try and get ahead of this movie.
No, yeah, that's yes.
You're not gonna win.
Yeah.
I would say the best thing to watch is just moment to moment. Yes. There's no future. There's no past.
If you were to have a drinking game on this movie, and you drank every time something weird happened, it would be about every 35 seconds.
Yes.
You go. Oh, I get it. I guess it. Nope. But it just keeps on turning every 30 seconds. You're like, oh God, wait, what's happening?
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely
they,
crazy.
So they meet in the elevator. She needs to get to Atlantic City. The only way to get there from New York City is to get this car
from a stranger. She doesn't even know he has a car.
At that point,
she has not seen him drive.
No,
he's a man in a high rise in New York City. Presumably, he wouldn't have a car.
Yeah,
right.
But she's like, "You must have a car." And he's like, "Well, I'm having a party. Come up to my party," because he's like, I want to go to the Bone Zone with Demi Moore.
Yeah, of course.
She shows up at the party.
Which, by the way, was a very upsetting relationship pair. I felt like when they were kissing, I was like, oh, I feel awkward. I feel like you paid for this person or something.
Everything about it was gross. Yeah. I feel like the entire movie was like predicated on the belief that Chevy Chase wanted to fuck Demi Moore. He's like, hey, Danny, will you write me a movie?
Yeah.
We can cast Demi Moore. I just need to fuck.
By the way, this is the first movie Demi Moore did after Ghost.
Oh.
So she went right from Ghost.
What a strong choice.
Right here.
What
nice.
A strong choice.
So she shows up at Chevy Chase's party, and it's a big party.
Yeah.
Like, a big party's happening. She's wearing a black cocktail dress. She looks like $1 million. And she's like, so you'll drive me to Atlantic City tomorrow? And he's like, sure.
Yeah.
Scene over.
That was it.
The scene is over.
Yeah.
The party scene goes away.
Oh,
she leaves.
Well, but another
she
thing.
She leaves.
Another thing happens, though, which is that the Brazilian couple.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they want to come.
Says that they want to go, too. Yeah.
But tell them noon, because they don't wake up before 2.
Yeah. So they will invite them.
We'll never see them again. He says,
There's no way we'll see them again.
Cut to, right away, hungover Chevy Chase coming out. I like the Irish doorman.
Irish doorman, very good, working it.
Seemed to be the most normal thing that on, like, yes. I believe that guy was an Irish doorman.
I would have preferred.
He was wearing suspenders with no...
With a t-shirt
at one point.
I was fine to overlook that, though.
But at that point, you were like, this is going to be fine.
By the way, the Irish doorman, Peter Aykroyd. Oh, just okay. So you guys know.
It's a family affair. So, but then in the
morning. Great accent work on his part.
So in the morning, really though, solid. So he wakes up and he's super hungover and decides.
Doesn't want to go.
I don't want to go.
Too hungover to drive
the
Sacco.
Elevator door's open.
And?
Demi Moore's there looking great, but not any better or nor worse.
Did he
than
not
we've
know? Was he roofied the night before and
she
didn't
still
see what she
a gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
She still looks again gorgeous. Identical to when she got on the elevator.
Okay. Yes.
Which, by the way, I would like just take out a moment for reality and go, Demi Moore today. Oddly, more attractive than she was back in 1991.
Disagree.
Me too.
Disagree.
Really?
Yeah. I knew there were going to be some.
But I mean, like this movie, this movie accepted. I mean, but about last night. I mean, like let's be serious.
Well, that's classic. Yeah.
Naked in the light of a refrigerator.
It's just so odd the way that they shot her there, as though this was her big. This was her big reveal as a sexy lady. She's been sexy since we saw her.
Yeah, she didn't clean it. It wasn't like the moment in like a romantic comedy where she combs her hair and takes off her glasses.
I think she had like a more blousy shirt on in the elevator. Or like a black over
baggy. And there's like sultry sax music. Yeah. There's like sultry sax music. It's like, wah, wah, wah.
So now Chevy Chase is like, well, I'm going to stay. I'm going to take this car and I'm going to go to the Bone Zone on Demi Moore. Let's go. They try to leave the garage. The Brazilians show up. And now we've got this insane car full of strangers.
The Brazilian woman is basically Carmen Miranda.
Yes.
She actually is a real-life Carmen Miranda.
Wait, what?
Yes. She is a famous singer from her country. Her name
That's
is...
That's amazing.
Yes, I did a little research on her.
Because I was like, these are characters that should be getting on the Love Boat, characters that should be in this movie.
Yes.
No, wait. So I'm trying to understand, why did they want to go? They just want a road trip.
They just thought it was going to be a fun...
out of the best city in the world.
They took to Atlantic City.
Sure.
They want to hang out with Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Chris,
their financial advisor. They wanted to leave New York, go to Atlantic City, hang out with him. Now,
they thought they were going to the Hamptons.
Yes.
Because they get in the car and they go, so, where are we going? And like they're crazy.
They just want to get in a car and go somewhere.
Yep. And they have so much luggage.
So much luggage.
Why did they wake up
so early that day?
I know.
To go with them. We still have not cracked the main movie yet.
We're still in the false lead of this movie.
So now they're driving. They're driving, and the Latin people want to have a picnic lunch, and they're mad that they have not stopped for their picnic lunch yet.
I know.
So they have.
No, they're also mad. That the highway is boring.
Ugly.
Oh, yeah.
The Jersey Turnpike is ugly.
Which is why they take another route.
Yeah, can we get off this ugly road and go have a picnic?
That was my first question here. A scenic route in New Jersey to go to Atlantic City? I mean, I just don't understand.
You're right. Your notes.
That's where it started.
Your
because
notes,
up until that point, I was
for
like.
For real, look like a serial killer's
well,
note.
Well, because they start.
They're a little bit like a seven journal from seven.
Scrawled notes from like a hotel's notepad.
Yep. This is my life. I live like a shit pig out here. scenic route in New Jersey, I don't understand why, if you're going to Atlantic City, you just stay on the turnpike till you get to Atlantic
City. You'll get there and then...
In an hour.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
But and for some reason, this is what's so fascinating about the movie, for some reason they feel indebted to this couple who's gotten in the car... Who they have no relationship to.
Meanwhile, Chevy Chase and Demi Moore don't even have a relationship.
Nobody has an actual relationship to each other.
Besides the two Latin people to each other.
Yes, and they are brother and sister, quite possibly lovers.
Yeah.
And so they get off the road. They're in this small town. It looks like a very dilapidated, like a coal town that has been, hurt. And
it looks like... they drive off the New Jersey Turnpike and into, like, a Southern California ghost town, Wild West.
I mean, it clearly is, like, an Old West set.
Yeah, like Thunder Mountain or something like that.
It looks like you're in Disney backlot. And so Chevy Chase rolls down his window, just yells out, buy gold, sell pork, whatever, at these homeless people. And I also feel like this is a movie, where Chevy Chase looks like, do you want me to do this? And then one also told him not to say, like, he's full of quips every second.
Oh,
like,
zingers.
Someone's like, hey, is that folk art? And he's like, oh, folk you.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
At one point, go suck a bug is an insult.
Yep.
I was like, go suck a bug? It's not, what? No. We can't say, you can't say that and then make it into the final cut.
Just, I mean, it seemed like every bad instinct, like, this is what Community would be without editing or writing for Chevy Chase. Like, hey, look, they buried Flipper over there. So they are driving through this town, and a cop is going to pull them over, at which point they go, hey, just try to outrun this cop.
The Brazilians are like,
this is, for me, I was willing to let go of the scenic New Jersey route. This, for me, this moment is where I started to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Why ever would they try to outrun the cops?
Why? That's a terrible idea.
Okay, can I blow your mind a little bit more, though?
Yeah.
It is terrible. And he leads them on a huge high-speed chase.
Yes.
Right? Through highways and byways, dangerous, blah, blah, blah.
Dirt roads.
At which point, John Candy pulls them out, finally does pull them over.
This is the best part, I think you're going to say.
And says, I'm not even going to write you up for the giant car chase we just had.
Yeah.
I'm going to only write you up for the stop sign you missed that began all of this.
Yeah.
So the car chase was, in fact, pointless. It didn't raise the stakes at all. It just was like a piece of action that had no bearing. I was like, the car chase was way worse than the stop sign.
I think what we were supposed to understand was that, like, if this movie came out in 91, right?
Yes.
So it's probably written in the late 80s. So it was probably supposed to be about this
guy. I feel like this was
like
written over one weekend.
It was probably about,
on, like tons of code.
Yes.
The character was probably supposed to be this, like, you know, Wall Street guy.
Like Michael Milken.
This is like Bonfire of the Vanities comedy horror version.
Right. And so I think we were supposed to get the idea that he just lives by a different set of rules and is outrunning cops.
But why do the Brazilians tell him to outrun the cops?
Yeah, that was like, terrible.
Because it's going to be fun.
They just want fun.
Guys, why are the Brazilians there at all?
Because they woke up before 2 that day.
Oh, now
their alarm clock went off.
Let's get into this now. Like,
okay.
this is where shit really starts happening.
Oh, boy.
This becomes...
John Candy is the sheriff.
Yes. Yep.
He brings them to...
Also, John Candy, along with Chevy Chase, looks depressed to be in this movie.
Yes.
See, you feel bad for him. Like, this guy looks depressed.
Yeah. Yes. I almost felt like he thought he was in a different movie. Like, he thought he was
a movie about him.
Yes, about him, that he was going to play, like, this hardened cop.
Yeah. Like Smokey and the Bandit type of movie where he is Jackie Gleason.
It is. Yeah. No one's getting what they wanted out of this movie.
I mean, I don't mean to jump ahead, but when he played Lady John Candy, we'll get to later.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Big spoiler. Yeah. But I did think he had a lot more life and sort of spirit.
He brought a lot more to his female character.
I just felt
character.
He was happier, yeah.
All right, so this is the cold conceit of the movie, essentially. And we spent about 25 minutes just getting to this idea.
Yeah, driving through Vulcansburg, wherever it was.
Vulcansburg, oh man. So they basically, you know, this is a small town where they run by their own rules, and a judge, who's played by Dan Aykroyd, the melting candle in a sweater, is going to preside over their fate. Yeah. There, and Dan Aykroyd does a bunch of things as a director to not show you the person's face until the last possible second.
Like,
I know it's a Dan Aykroyd movie. Yeah. Like, well, let's see this guy's face.
But he's in crazy old man makeup with his melting face
and his nose that looks like a penis.
His nose is a penis.
It's got a little tip at the end, like a hole. What was with the whole kit and caboodle before? Like the thing comes out and the bench comes up
flip.
And he comes in. Yeah.
The whole house is a Rube Goldberg contraption.
Yes.
Everything. It's like, you want water, you hit a button and the water glass comes up.
I was like, I don't understand why this. I feel like Dan Aykroyd was like, I want to make a movie that's all about, like, gadgets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's like, I want to have hot dogs, but the way everybody gets the condiments is a part of the table drops down, and then in place of that is raised a Lionel train set. Each car has different condiments on it. Gadgets, right? Everything is gadgets.
All I could think about during this whole movie was like, how much did this cost? Because it's all practical. It's not CGI. It's like,
no.
All right, well, this is a safe that's hooked up to a lever that drops down over here that runs them over. It's like, this is an expensive movie.
It's the movie of the board game Mousetrap.
Yes. Yeah,
it is. This house is, but here's the weird thing about the house is that usually Dan Aykroyd's pressing all these buttons which make things happen.
Yes.
And, you know, trap doors open and they're on slides and all with each button, like, people are taking places. But then at other times in the movie, it seems the house just
knows.
Has a life. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not seeing anyone pulling these switches and buttons.
And it just starts going.
Well, they basically end up the house and the piece of land that the house is on, because they also have to drive through a maze of like a junkyard
parts,
or something to get to the house. The house and the maze and the yards and the grounds are almost like a carnival type atmosphere of death traps. Would you say?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like so our people are tried, Chevy Chase, blah blah blah. They are dropped through a trap door into a sub basement, right?
Right, which is because full of squeaky
foam,
toys.
Like squeaky toys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like dog toys.
Like a ball pit, but instead full of squeaky toys for dogs.
Yes. Because he's, you said this, right? Because he couldn't decide what he wants to do with them.
He's going to wait till tomorrow to figure out what to do with them. At which point.
But wait, John Candy wanted him to let him off, correct?
Yeah.
Like John Candy's trying to be the.
A good cop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Objective.
But Demi Moore made the mistake of saying, I'd like to spend more time with you to him, I think. That was my. That
oh,
was
so
what
the
I
judge was kind of into Demi
the
Moore as well.
The judge wanted to bone zone Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And also Chevy Chase rubbed him the wrong way because
he's
a banker.
Banker. Yeah.
And we find out through the history of
Even
this movie.
He's not a banker.
He's not a banker.
He's just a financial finalist.
I feel like there was a lot of like large themes that Dan Aykroyd was trying to like ratchet in, like, you know, the government taking over small corporations and bankers and greed, and it was like
And ball pits.
Well,
that's the
dog
thing.
Toy ball
that's
pits.
That's the thing. It has that atmosphere of it's like city people stuck in small town, right? Now they're at the
it's
mercy.
It's a nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare.
They're at the mercy of small town justice, blah, blah, blah.
But not even small town justice, like insane.
What's insane is that the next thing that happens is there's a Baldwin at minute 30.
Stephen Baldwin.
No. Yeah. Daniel Baldwin.
Oh, Daniel.
Yes.
It's the least talented of the Baldwins.
Yes.
Danny Baldwin and some fucking trashy girls from New York are all pulled over. He's wasted. They're doing drugs.
And another bad decision in front of a cop.
Drinking in front of the cop.
Drinking. Yeah. And then the cop's about to write him a ticket, and he pulls a gun and puts it to the cop's face.
He pulls a gun and says, big mistake, copper, or something like that, and puts a gun in John Candy's face.
Thank God his cousin carries an AK-47. Yeah. Then the crazy deputy girl has a full-blown assault rifle AK-47.
Yeah, and he has it. Later, John Candy has an Uzi at one point. Yeah. Like,
and they fire these guns willy-nilly.
Oh, yeah.
Really, there's no...
Yeah. There is no respect for human life. So basically, Danny Baldwin, Fat Baldwin, and his people are brought before Danny Aykroyd, the judge, and are put to death. They are put to death.
Yes.
By hitting a conveyor belt that drops them into an amusement park ride where they go into, what's the name?
A roller coaster.
That goes into something called the bone crusher?
The bone meter?
The bone extractor?
The bone skinner or something like
something,
that.
Something that is a big giant mouth with teeth that are like metal spikes.
But it's very crude. It looks like it was like cans that were just spiked
out.
Yes.
Also,
Mr. Bone Stripper.
Mr. Bone Stripper. But here's the thing about Mr. Bone Stripper is like those teeth are clamping down like crying, crying, crying. They would crush your bones.
Yes.
They wouldn't pull the bones from your body whole.
And all that comes spitting out are just literally the bones. There's
clean.
No meat. Yes.
Clean
not
bones.
A, no blood, and, no meat, nothing.
And when the bones are split out, they hit a target.
Yeah.
And it goes ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Now, this is exactly why Dan Aykroyd should never write a Ghostbusters 3 or Ghostbusters. They always say like, Dan Aykroyd has these amazing ideas for Ghostbusters. This movie shows you that he's insane. I mean, this is an insane movie. A roller coaster that leads to a bone skinning device that shoots out skeletons.
It's horrible. It's just a horrible.
So he kills.
It's a horrible idea. It's so upsetting.
Yes.
He kills a bunch of people.
Oh my gosh.
It's a nightmare to watch.
Not even a jury of your peers. It's just some. It's melted Dan Aykroyd.
These poor people.
Yeah.
These poor people.
If anybody deserved to be put to death in that movie, it was those guys. But.
Well, no. Yeah.
Steve,
I mean, they were mafia.
They pulled a gun on.
I agree with Danny Baldwin. And they had so much crack. They had a bag of crack that was like a hefty bag full of crack.
They got like.
But you think they deserve to die?
No, not to die. But not at all. But I'm saying, if you're going to kill someone in the movie,
you kill them.
Yeah, those are. The, well, we're gonna kill them.
I agree.
Or Humpty Hump. I mean,
guys, spoiler alert.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize, but nobody deserves to die, but if you have to use the meat eater.
But here's the thing. I would have preferred to have seen them do something terrible or something
before.
What did they do?
They were D-bags.
And they made,
but I mean, they also have to set up the idea that this guy is a dangerous
guy. He's willing to kill people.
He's willing to kill people just for having a lot of crack.
I guess so.
But in that moment, before they get killed, Demi Moore and Chevy Chase escape.
Yes.
And then also the Brazilian couple is gone.
Oh, my God. The Brazilian couple jumps out a second floor window.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Haphazardly. Without any looking down. They don't even know where it leads to.
No.
They just are out the
jump
window.
Out of a glass window.
But we got to talk about the dinner scene, though. Because they get invited.
Oh, yes.
Right. They get invited to dinner.
Yes, you're right. In jail, you get invited to dinner at a nice big table.
Yeah.
They go to a dinner where they're serving hot dogs.
Yeah.
First ants on a log.
Which, by the way, ants on a log was given to Demi Moore, and she looks at it like, oh,
yes.
God. Isn't ants on a log just peanut butter and celery and raisins?
Yes. Yeah.
And then hot Hawaiian punch pops the oil opener in and just pours it out of that.
They're all drinking hot Hawaiian punch, eating peanut butter and raisins, and then are served hot steaming hot dogs by Lady John Candy.
Okay, yeah. This is Lady John Candy. So
she's now introduced.
She is the granddaughter of Dan Aykroyd's character, the sister of John Candy's character, I'm presuming.
And
I thought she was the daughter of Dan, of the judge character, not the granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
She's the granddaughter.
Granddaughter, yeah.
Okay. I don't know what happened to his kids.
I believe.
Yeah, who knows where the parents are. But this character is mute.
Mm-hmm.
She is mute, so she does
That's
not
correct.
Talk.
Eldonna is her name.
Yeah, she. And it's, you know, and it's John
it's his
Candy
granddaughter. It's his granddaughter and personal mechanic, Eldonna.
Yep.
Oh my God. And it is really like she develops an instantaneous crush on Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
It gives him like winks and like is it. This character made me sad, in all honesty.
Well, now I'm realizing there's sort of this weird theme of like arrested development, like adults pretending, because she's also very childlike. I mean, she's not an adult woman.
No.
And it seems like she's dressed as like a 5-year-old
like
girl.
Like Little Bo Peep. Like John Candy
like
as
John
Bo
Candy.
Peep.
And by the way, they try to merge a scene
which
to
isn't
show
as sexy as you would think.
No.
Given the phrase John Candy as Little Bo Peep. Like you automatically are like, ooh, that sounds super erotic.
Beautiful.
It's not.
No, it's not.
And this is also in the sad John Candy size, like when John Candy got a little like it was like a little bit past Uncle Buck in girth.
Yeah.
So everything's a little bit
sadder.
He was
sadder, a large woman.
Yeah. And also oh man, they're eating these hot dogs, and it's
gray.
It's
hot dogs.
A gray, disgusting.
It's so
hot
gross. I know what you're gonna say, Dan Aykroyd eating the hot dog.
Yeah,
it made me like dry heaving.
No,
yeah, I looked
didn't
away.
Feel well.
No, I looked away. I had to look away.
Yeah,
it was crazy, disgusting. His makeup. His melted candle face, like shoving
mayonnaise and
like slathered
mustard.
Condiments, like hot dog into his mouth, like right under his dick nose.
And it's like you're just seeing disgusting hot dog. Watching anyone eat hot dogs, not fun.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah,
I could come up with a list of 10 people that I would fucking pay upwards of $1,000 to watch eat a hot dog. Hillary Clinton is on that list.
Now, I just want to talk about what makes Taylor Negron and his sister flee. It's because Dan Aykroyd decides to flick a pickle at them from a gherkin shooter on that little train condiment set. Like, he hits a button and a little pickle flies up in Taylor Negron's face. He's like, oh, that's it.
Done.
We're out of here. That's
through
it.
The window.
Jumps out a glass window.
To the ground.
Yep.
Where they are chased by dogs.
And a machine shot up by an AK-47.
Yeah.
Like Ralph Fiennes in Schindler's List from the porch. Just just shooting at them.
I don't know
and
how
nothing
she
And by the way, they are being shot at. And Chevy Chase and Demi Moore are sitting there like, huh.
Yep.
This is weird, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
no,
they don't. They're like, oh, those are our friends.
It seems for the rest of the movie, and I don't want to jump ahead, but like later on, Chevy Chase and Demi Moore are smoking a cigar and having this love scene only a couple minutes later.
By the way, that
the
love scene I thought was a bit.
Take them to their rooms, and then they just get to stay in their room together. And
during that time, they don't know whether those people survived or not.
Oh, yeah.
They're friends. Their friends might be dead, shot up on the ground
Wait,
outside.
The Brazilians also... Get to a moat. Moat that is full of toxics.
And poles that stick out.
Yeah.
And like spikes.
It says that São Paulo.
Yeah. And they swim through toxic waste.
Yes.
And
I thought it was shit, too.
And
I
are unaffected.
Shit. Yep.
Oh, there are no problems with
unaffected.
That And
I thought I was going to watch, because I was like, oh, they're going to die. I'm going to watch them
melted
melt.
Skin off. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to watch like the end of Raiders melting mm-hmm. flesh scene. Nope. They're fine.
Because I think it sizzled when they got in. It was like...
And she's going, no, don't make me get in toxics, no, it's now, amazing.
Now that is not the weirdest thing that happens. We'll take a commercial break, we'll be right back.
All right, so today we are sponsored by our friends at Squarespace. I love Squarespace. They are a beautiful, intuitive website platform that allows anyone to easily create professional web pages, blogs, online stores, and galleries in a single platform. Okay. You pick a design, easy. Then you add your images, easy. Anything you want to do, it's drag and drop. And guess what? It looks good on anything. Your iPhone, your iPad, your computer. It scales to fit perfectly. Plus, you get 24-hour customer support, cloud hosting, real-time analytics. You sign up for a year, they even give you a free domain name. So whether you're a creative professional, a business owner, a blogger, Squarespace makes it easy for you to bring your ideas to life. I've been actually getting a ton of emails from people who have Squarespace accounts. They love it. They've been sending me their websites, and they look really good. I'm going to kind of highlight them in future episodes. So start your website today for free at squarespace.com. Go to squarespace.com/cage. Start a free trial. No credit card required. If you decide to purchase, click on enter offer code. And just enter in the code CAMP, that's CAMP, get a 10% discount at squarespace.com/cage, offer code CAMP, Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website.
Okay, so now, when we last left you, the Latin people have survived the moat. Now we go to the Chevy Chase Demi Moore sex scene, mm-hmm. which the entire time I'm like, oh, she's doing a bit. Like, she's not really into him. That's why she's acting like that.
Yes.
I thought she was like trying to. But she is.
No,
she is. And I don't understand.
Because like, she starts kissing and she's like, why do I make such bad decisions?
And then she's bipolar again. This is where I see her bipolar thing come out.
Yep. They start kissing, and I fully expected her to be like punch him in the face and be like, do you really fucking think I would fall for that, you asshole?
Yeah.
But no, she is like this is
into
Dan
it.
Aykroyd's view of women.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. This is the
how
window.
How could you not love this guy?
Yeah.
How could you not want this guy?
How could you not want this guy?
This movie is purely a vanity project fueled by back pills.
It's crazy.
It's terrible. I mean, it's like Dan Aykroyd, like, their relationship, I don't even understand. They're literally fighting tooth and nail. Their friends get killed, and then they kind of just make out.
Like
in a normal movie.
And then she's like, I gotta stop making out. I gotta go to bed. And she's acting drunk.
Mm-hmm. And then she runs and throws herself on the bed like a
and
full
is
body
instantly
fling.
Instantly asleep.
Yes. Yep.
Is instant, like mid fling is asleep.
At which point they're asleep. The bed rotates a couple times.
Yep, spinning.
360 spins. They don't fall out of the bed when it goes upside down.
Because gravity
doesn't count.
Yeah.
Gravity doesn't work.
Force, whatever.
They're woken up, and then they are following the Rube Goldberg house, which is leading them up to an attic.
Oh. This is where the house also has a mind of its own, though.
Yeah. Yes.
It seems to be coming after them.
And
Chevy
they find
Chase looking through the hole.
Oh. Wait. We got to fight. I want to talk about the. I want to talk about the when they find out that Jimmy Hoffa was killed.
Oh
here.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
They go up to an attic where there's all these licenses of everyone that they've killed, and they find out that this guy has killed famous people throughout history mm-hmm. at this house. Because he also fought in World War I, by the way, Dan Aykroyd's character.
Okay, so this is a question. So why is Dan Aykroyd doing this? Can anyone take a stab at
The movie, you mean?
The movie itself?
No, I'm sorry. Oh, the character, JP.
Still continuing to act and direct?
Yeah.
Continuing to perform?
I'm talking about JP's motivation.
He hates bankers.
He hates bankers.
But you guys, he's not just stopping bankers.
Oh,
he doesn't
like
figure out.
I think what he doesn't like is any outsiders coming into his town because they came into his town
and breaking the
law. They broke it.
But
I think he's getting back. He's getting back at them for wrecking the town that they drove through, the old West town. I think he's taking it out on any outsider.
So basically, what
never
happened
will he be taken advantage of again?
And who put the mines in the town?
That's what I want to know. I got confused by what his upset. Didn't his grandfather had a mine explosion?
And
his
there was grandfather and they, coke or something.
There was. Oh, there's also. I'm sorry. We should explain. This town is like a coal mining town.
Yes.
Because there's also when they're driving through town, plumes of smoke
green
coming out
smoke,
of the ground and piles of coal. There were at one point just. piles of coal.
Here's what they describe. They say the judge and his household have a long-standing grudge against bankers because of the loss of most of the family's wealth due to a poor investment deal. So that's basically where the anger stems from. That a banker misinvested their money. God.
So when they're killing these people,
it actually makes me nauseous thinking about this movie.
Me too.
This movie is bad.
I don't feel well. So then they're stopping people just hoping that some of them might be bankers.
Well, they stop musicians too. They stop anybody.
That's the craziest premise I've ever heard.
Yeah. How about the two naked diaper wearing?
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Oh my God.
This is where the movie. I wrote a number of times over the course of this. I hate this movie. And then when I got to the naked weirdos in the junkyard, I was literally like, "What the fuck has happened?"
Let's play a clip of the naked weirdos in the junkyard. I think it's under two weird dudes. Here we go.
No. Bobo wins because Bobo's hand was on top.
Yeah, my hand's on top. I win my deal.
No, I won my deal.
My hand's on top. My deal, I win.
That's right. No, it's Bobo's deal because Bobo's hand was on top.
Yeah, my hand was on top. I win my deal.
Okay.
If I win again.
So that is the characters that are large, diaper-wearing, three-titted men that one of them is played by Dan Aykroyd.
Yep.
And the other played by no one that you would know.
Yeah. And they are disgusting.
Horrifying.
They look like Chunk from Goonies or Manatees.
Chunk from Goonies or Manatees.
Meets a manatee.
They look like, but the special effects are like, it's like a fat suit that looks like it's been slathered in oil.
Yeah.
And they look...
Like an ill-formed fat bastard.
So
deep. Yeah, yes.
But
because the fat isn't like compact or satisfying.
It kind of starts small and then just becomes longer.
It's fucking awful.
Yeah,
and
really
the characters'
grotesque names
are Bobo and Little Debul.
I thought it was Little Devil.
Debul. Okay. Little Devil, like Little Debbie.
And when they took Demi Moore,
yes,
I thought that's where this movie's gonna really make a big turn, and they're gonna fuck her.
Yeah.
They're gonna kill her.
And this movie wouldn't have been weird. If they would have fucked her to death, I'd be like,
You've set up a world,
yes,
where two backwoods fat diaper wearing maniacs exist. Yeah. So why shouldn't they rape Demi Moore?
Wait, but I have such a basic question: are they humans?
That's what I want. Because I'm not kidding you. Because if you look at their heads, they don't look human heads.
No, they're not human heads.
They come to a point and they've got the one piece of hair that just comes out of the top. You're convinced you're 100% sure they're humans?
They're 100% human.
No, they're not.
What are they?
No.
What are they?
I don't know.
Why are they?
Some other creature.
What are they?
No one knows.
Some other creature.
They were born in that, like
in the sludge?
I don't know what they are.
They're humans. They're just like
malformed
genetic fucking.
Genetically, they'd be classified as humans, but I wouldn't be 100% sure.
I can't say.
But they're also
confidently
the brothers of female John Candy.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah, that's their sister.
The mute sister.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Well, then they're also the brothers of John Candy.
Yeah, so they're also the. But they don't look like John Candy. And oddly, I bet you they wanted John Candy to play Little Debul or whatever, Debul, and he refused.
That's where he drew the line?
He's like, no. By the way, if you're any actor in this movie, how much money did they give you? Because reading this, imagine reading this,
seeing it
is disturbing. But reading it, this is good.
There's no jokes in this movie.
It's all visual, though. I bet you they thought that all those characters
would
just stand on their own.
All the contraptions and stuff would be hilarious.
Yep.
Ooh.
And John Candy in a dress. I mean, I think that is also probably what the movie was sold on. He's going to be doing.
Meanwhile, Demi Moore is playing like Go Fish with the deformed mutant manatees.
Yeah.
And then Digital Underground, the band who did the Humpty Dance, also show up. They get pulled over.
Why did they take the detour? Why did Digital Underground? Why were they taking the detour from, let's say, Manhattan to Atlantic City?
There's no reason for anyone to take the detour.
Digital Underground.
At this point, we've been trapped in this house for like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
It's crazy. And now we find out that the judge kind of likes musicians.
Oh, yeah.
Likes them a lot. And he says, if you guys are musicians, bring on your stuff. Play your music for me, and I'll kind of judge you. Well, I'll judge you based on that. At which point, a young Tupac Shakur
in a Yankee jersey.
In a Yankee jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Tupac, the guy who's
skinny.
I totally didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah. That's Tupac.
I was checked out for part of this. This part of the movie.
Tupac, who is?
I was dancing.
I was ready for this. This is a
wait,
big
was Tupac in Digital Underground.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yep. I didn't realize that until And then they sing a full song. The judge is like, you know what? You guys are good because you're musicians. You're bringing the world a better place. You're off. But hey, stick around because we're going to get married. We're going to have a wedding ceremony.
Not only that, but the judge also joined.
Judge plays music too.
They did
well.
All Around the World. They
all
did,
around
yeah,
the world.
Which, yeah, I was actually a fan of the first time it came out. But yeah, there's that organ part and John Candy, the organ just pops up. Not John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, as the judge, just starts wailing away.
And when he starts wailing away,
the girls are now on, like, they're
up there,
course,
dancing with him,
with
psyched
him.
To be with him.
Yep.
Meanwhile, once he starts playing, Tupac gets into it so much that he kind of fist pumps. Is like, yeah, yep, go Dan Aykroyd. I like this. Tupac definitely, for whatever it was,
I wish
committed fully.
The yes. world still had Tupac and Dan Aykroyd had been killed in an east-west hip-hop feud.
I think this is the role that got Tupac poetic justice. So now, through a turn of events Chevy Chase goes down a big slide. He gets into John Candy's room. Watch John
That's
Candy take off his
nose.
Oh, that was so disgusting.
Guys, again, I ask, is he a human being? Why did his nose come off?
I'm more on your side than I than
and
than
more
not.
Importantly, is the Ew. Nose in fact a penis?
Yes.
Is the nose someone's severed penis that he's using as a nose?
Yes.
Okay,
he's
so think of it like
to
this.
Breathe out of it.
All right,
underneath
so World
the
War
penis, he didn't have a nose.
No, it was like a pig's
a prosthetic,
snout, like a snout pig.
World War I ended in 1918.
Yep.
At which point, Dan Aykroyd's character had to be at least 18 years old because he was fighting in World War I.
Yeah.
This movie came out in 1991.
Yes. All right.
So
obviously, he's not human. He's a wizard or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he's been around. He's
100.
He has a fake leg. He's barely, he's just parts. He's
Where did he
stump.
Lose his leg?
France. and yet he reprimands Digital Underground because he was having a dream of being in France on shore leave. Mm-hmm. So there are some highs and lows in France.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God.
Digital Underground stays for the wedding. Let's see. This is some of the great dialogue when Chevy Chase finds out that he has to marry John Candy. We'll play
female John Candy.
You know, you are worse than a week of yellow shitstorms. First I find you rooting around in my private things. Now you're making advances against my little granddaughter.
I was just trying to get away from you. I ran into her, okay?
Well, she's got your taint on her now.
Taint?
No choice but house policy.
Fine. House policy? What's house policy?
Well, whatever man touches her is the one she keeps.
What? What are you talking about? Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just went through a goddamn stop sign. I just want to get to Atlantic City, please.
That's my favorite thing is that he's explaining what we've just seen. Yep. Everybody,
the plot.
Well, I just ran into her.
You know the plot of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Chevy Chase also says, all I want to do is get to Atlantic City a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot. I would think he wanted to just get
just
back
home.
Just go home.
He didn't really want, what is in Atlantic City
point,
for him?
At this point, after all he's been through,
just go home.
Just go home.
Somehow listening to the clips makes their acting so much worse. Like without any visuals, like them just, you just hear
Chevy
them
Chase
trying.
Sounds tired. And,
yeah.
Oh.
Does
What's
it get weirder?
Really weird though that Lady John Candy wants to. So they're basically saying that every single time someone has showed up, if she takes a shine to them, she then keeps them.
Well, maybe no man
them.
Has ever touched
no
her.
No man's ever... Yeah. She's never
How
taken
is that
a like...
house policy then?
I guess...
Oh, that no men are ever near her?
It was a law that has never actually had to be enforced. Yeah.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, though, with Lady John Candy, because sometimes she's really... She tried to kill Chevy Chase.
No, yes. Demi Moore. She tries to throw Demi Moore into the fire.
That, yeah.
But there's another point.
No, because remember when John can't. Yeah. Wait, hold on. When Chevy Chase gets into a knife fight with Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, I
that knife
about
fight
that.
In the, like they are trying to kill each other. He's like, I'm going to stab more holes in you. Then they fall. Chevy Chase knocks him down, goes running out, and then Lady John Candy knocks him over.
Oh, yes.
And then grabs him. And then that's when the marriage thing.
Touching.
Yeah.
How you got hurt. You're tainted. On her.
Yeah, so I'll fight you to death. And they seem to be fine with each other after.
Yeah, they're fine, totally fine. Oh,
Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase are fine, even though they tried to kill each other with knives.
I gotta say, the one part I did have a genuine laugh at was the
What? You had a laugh?
A genuine laugh was the reveal of Lady John Candy in a wedding dress.
Oh, with the it looked like a potato sack?
Crazy dress on.
You didn't like the striptease? The little striptease of Lady John Candy showing how big her underwear were?
I just didn't understand that. What was she getting ready for?
The wedding.
The wedding.
She was dressing up for the wedding.
Oh, okay. So
and then the other one comes in and says, you're not supposed to see her on the special day.
What's up with that character?
Yeah, the other deputy. The other not John Candy.
Just carrying around an AK-47. Like an AK-47.
Everywhere she went.
As an assault rifle.
She was a nuts. She was a nuts
lady.
This
movie is a house full of psychopaths.
Yeah.
A town full of psychopaths. Except for John Candy. Actual Sheriff John Candy is the only person with a conscience.
Yeah, right. Who is now taken. By the way, the Brazilians have not. We have not seen
Never
them
have
not heard about the
since they went through Shit River.
Yeah,
and yes.
Now they've bribed John Candy to take them away.
And John Candy's slowly packing. Now, here's another thing. I think technologically, they have one scene where Lady John Candy and John Candy are in the same scene, and it looks like. The worst effects of splicing two scenes together, and the rest of the movie, the way they solve that is by never having them in. Like when Lady John Candy's around, John Candy is not even in the movie anymore.
Yeah,
he's not playing. Like,
the only time they were together is the dinner scene for a half a second,
and that's the one scene that looks so
that's
bad.
All they could afford.
Yeah, that
they
was
spent a lot of money on Lionel trains.
I also love that when. When Man John Candy packs to go, he packs a 8x10 photograph of himself.
Yeah. And a handsome pose. Was he in the military? I think he was
that's just him as a sheriff.
Oh, as He's a sheriff.
Packing,
okay.
Packing a bit of memorabilia. Yeah.
Of himself.
And there wasn't a lot of other things.
Yeah, no clothes.
There were no clothes. It was
just
mostly
to remember himself by.
Does it get weirder? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Basically, Chevy Chase doesn't want to get married, so then Chevy Chase goes into the Bone Skinner.
No, but he does get married.
But then he gets angry, and then he's like, you can't marry my granddaughter. You're going to Mr. Bone Skinner.
Yep.
He goes on the roller coaster ride. We watch that whole same sequence again. Nothing changed. And then...
Pop the piston.
Thank God, because then Chevy Chase gets out of the Bone Skinner unscathed.
Yep.
Totally fine. At which point, Demi Moore is going to be sacrificed...
Right. Yeah, and that chopper.
It's a chopper.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically five steel blades.
Oh, it's called quartering. It cuts you into quarters.
It's like, hey, banker, come out here. I'm going to chop your lady in quarters. Yes.
And to show us the quartering thing works, they set up eight watermelons. I think that the 50-foot high axes are going to do the trick.
We get the picture.
Yeah, we get it. We get that this is good.
Oh, this movie is so bad.
So, Chevy Chase, I mean, I guess this is Chevy Chase saves Demi Moore from this by creating some sort of gas fire. They save her, and they escape on a train. You think the movie, after a crazy explosion, hundreds of thousands of dollars in explosions are going on. They escape on a train. They're going to be saved.
Cut to them.
Yes.
At the FBI, right? Or whatever.
Yes.
At the police.
No,
explaining
I think
the whole
FBI,
thing.
Because they're in such a federal looking building. Mm-hmm.
They're at the FBI. They're explaining everything that just happened. They're wearing blankets on themselves.
Yeah.
They were
half
hostages.
Her pearl
necklace on. Just
yeah.
Hand.
Yeah.
So they're like, and then this happened.
And they've
and
drawn a
happened.
Very well detailed layout of the land, which would be very hard to kind of
impossible.
Figure out. Yeah.
Impossible.
Impossible.
And the FBI is like, all right, well, let's go in there. So, 10,000 FBI agents.
So many to the
squadrons.
Point.
Squadrons.
Yeah, it was like they had a small army going in.
All go in.
Bust it down, treat the property like shit.
Right? And SWAT teams, everybody's got their guns ready.
By the way, my favorite
ready.
Detail, too, is that they've given Demi Moore a police
hat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Chevy Chase has a jacket, the police jacket.
And so then they're like, well, why don't you guys go knock on the door? and get him to come out or whatever.
It was actually Chevy Chase's idea. He's like, I want to go talk to him.
Oh.
I want to settle the score.
Yes.
I really feel like this would be the best.
And Demi gets on board. She's
she's like, that's a good idea. Let's go talk to him.
And so they go up to the front door.
Like,
and
these people, there are psychopaths in there, and they've almost killed you.
But let's go see if we can reason with them.
Why would you even go with the police to the location? Like, well,
I'm like, my job's done here.
Yeah,
I've already been there.
Dangerous.
I've told you everything I know.
But the police, you guys
but the police told him, you need to be here because you need to identify them. And he's like, I can identify them anywhere. And then they get there and they're like, okay, we'll take a more active role in this police investigation. They get
there. We got our hats on now.
Oh, God. They get there, and as the audience, or at least is what I thought, they're going to knock on the door and they're going to act like, you know, Dan Aykroyd's going to open up like, oh, why? I'm an old man. I didn't do anything. And then their whole case is going to fall apart. Half true, because he knocks on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Aykroyd's like, oh, I'm an old man. And he goes, but guess what? You're in a bee's nest. At which point they turn around.
The camera turns.
Yes. Yep. And every one of those people, every cop, everyone's like, hey,
judge.
We love the judge.
We love this judge.
And they applaud, and they love this judge, and they're like, this judge is a good
dude. I'm sorry. You guys, they all, in unison, go, hey, judge, whatever.
Yeah. Like, it's a surprise
like
party.
Like, 200 people speak in unison to and say hey to the judge.
Now, if they were all in the...
must have planned.
Well, they get
that
it.
That must mean, like, they're like, hey, guys.
As soon as he turns around.
Yeah. They turn around. We're all going to, like, one, not two, yet, three. Hey, yeah. Judge. You know, like...
So on the way up those stairs, there must have been a very quick, like, game of telephone. Okay, I'll do this.
Are we saying hey first? Okay, everyone's saying hey first. Okay.
So they do it. We find out that the FBI, the cops, they like this guy because he takes care of people that they can't take care of.
By the way, here's my question, though. So if these are federal, like, where did they go on that train? It looked like they might be in Washington.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think so. I don't think.
I mean, they're probably.
They
were
here's my
Atlantic
question.
City? Where
did you
were
think
they?
The FBI were human beings?
My big issue.
That issue's still unresolved.
My big issue with this end is, why bring out a 200 person minimum brigade to destroy this guy's land and everything just for that one reveal of going,
so
hey,
expensive.
Judge. Like, yeah, there's like round up everyone just for this moment of this practical joke moment on Chevy Chase. That was, I thought, was a waste of resources.
But what happens next? So they. Are they going to be killed?
They're
going to
be killed.
Okay, so they're going to be killed. And then they start to, walk away, and then the explosions happen?
Oh, yeah. The judge puts his cane in the ground, and some bubbling ooze comes up.
It sizzles the end of the cane, and then, it's all on. There's like fire feet.
Because they're on landmines.
They're basically on toxic soil.
No, they're not landmines. They're on top of a coal mine that is like, it keeps exploding.
Yeah.
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
Basically, it literally sucks in the house, everybody in it, Chevy Chase and her escape, and the whole house sucked up. Chevy Chase goes back to New York with Demi Moore. They're a happy couple. Chevy Chase is having nightmares, at which point I think my favorite scene of the whole movie happens. Chevy Chase turns on the news, is watching the news, and they go, oh, this whole area...
Breaking news.
The fires are so bad that all this area turned into... oil.
Yep.
It's the wealthiest area in the land now. But what's going to happen to all the displaced residents? Turn over to Dan Aykroyd. He goes, we're moving in with my son-in-law. And he shows his license to the camera. Chevy Chase's license. At which point, Chevy Chase runs through the wall, cartoon style. I want to just see a picture, a wall, and a body has gone
outlined,
and up. It was like Roger Rabbit style.
Like he jumped up before he went through the wall.
And ran through.
Of course he did.
It is.
You don't run through the wall at ground level.
No.
He runs through his apartment building wall.
Yeah. And leaves a Chevy Chase-sized hole.
And just FYI, in case you were wondering what happened to the Brazilians, they are, I guess, in Brazil with John Candy.
San Paulo.
Yeah. John Candy is fucking the sister.
Girl.
Yes.
And is the personal bodyguard to both of them.
Is that what he is?
Yes.
Oh,
and he says, I will never let anything happen to you or my sweet little peach. And then he grabs her ass.
But guys, why did he leave? Did anybody get?
Oh, he was tired.
He didn't want to be with the judge anymore.
Yeah, he was tired of their vigilante style of justice.
He wanted
didn't like
a different life.
All right. He didn't. And now, you may think that this story is ridiculous, but I'll have you know, it was based on Dan Aykroyd's personal experience, this entire movie, because in 1978, he was pulled over for speeding in a rural town in northeastern United States, and the police officer took him to a local justice of the peace in the middle of the night for a trial. This is a real life story.
Oh my God.
That was dramatized for our liking. Film nominated for 6 Razzie Awards, Worst Picture, Worst Actress, Worst Supporting Actress, John Candy in drag, Worst Director, Worst Screenplay.
Me too.
And it only received Worst Razzie for Worst Supporting Actor, which was Dan Aykroyd as the mentally deranged Shire Reeve. And he won Best Makeup for a Saturn Award. Now, we will be right back with some second opinions.
Hey, you own a small business? Well, guess what? Mailing and shipping are an important part of running your small business, but it can get in the way of actually growing your business if you're constantly making trips to the post office. Am I right? Business owners, where are my business owners at? What a waste of time staying in all those lines at the post office. So now you can go to stamps.com instead. All right, with Stamps.com, everything you want to do at the post office, you can do right from your own desk, right from your own computer, right from your own printer. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale, calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You never have to go to the post office again or even lease one of those expensive postage meters. My dad had one of those. They were convoluted. Some guy had to come and do all this stuff. It's sucked. Now, we are giving you, a small business owner, a chance to live free and die hard, just like Bruce Willis. Right now, go to, I'm going to give you a special offer code. It's BOMB, okay? That's B-O-M-B. It's a no-risk trial. You get a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and $55 in free postage. So don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in BOMB. That's stamps.com. Enter BOMB.
So now, obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are some people who had a different opinion. These are 5-star reviews on Amazon.com of this movie. Review number 1. Hands down, the best movie I've ever seen. The scene where Dan Aykroyd's eating the knockwurst is one of the most underrated scenes in film history. I love this movie. Watch it with your family at Thanksgiving.
Knockwurst.
No. Knockwurst. All right, next one. Did anyone else find this kind of scary?
What?
I mean, this movie was more scary than funny. It's without a doubt the weirdest movie I've ever seen, and it's very enjoyable. But like I said, it's pretty scary. It had a few funny parts, but it's really scary. 5 stars. Now, this is one that I really liked. Okay. For someone to say they did not like this film is closed-minded and boring. My fiance and I found it extremely funny, and the fart scene was amazing. You have to admit, once in a while, you fart too. I give it 5 stars, and then some. I'm so hungry, I want a hot dog. Police car had style. Disney should have that roller coaster. Chomp. So have some fun in life and laugh at the bizarre. After all, it's bizarre that makes millions. Candy Lopez. 5 stars.
We need a plague.
What is going on? People out. Candy, I want to know if Candy Lopez and her fiance made it work.
And I want and this one, I don't normally read more than 3, but this one just was really great because I just read this one part. This is one of my favorite films of all time. If you have children, let them watch this film.
Of course.
Everyone I know of that loves this film saw it as a child, and there's a weird quality to this movie that makes it more rewarding as a child. So that is what
I am a child molester.
Well, you watch did this movie watch as a, it as a child.
I and did, and it made an impression on me. We had a laser disc.
I don't remember this. Laser
By the way,
disc.
Last thing I'll say, how about when Chevy Chase stepped in in Dan Aykroyd's dirty bedpan.
Oh yeah.
And it's
like,
a
he used it as a weapon.
Take
your Italian
leather shoe off my bed. What is it called? Bedpan or boudoir or something? I don't know what the hell.
So stained.
The movie is gross. The movie is top to bottom gross.
It's like a Garbage Pail Kids movie. Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like. It's like slimy, gross mucus.
That's totally true.
Would you guys recommend people watching it?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
It never gets so bad it's good. Yeah. It just gets so bad that you're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's pretty dumb fucking movie.
Did we mention everything? I want to make sure before we wrap up that we didn't miss anything. Want to take a guess on how much it cost to make? In 1991.
I'm going to say $15 million.
Okay.
$45 million.
June?
No, I don't think it cost $50 million. I would say like $20 million.
In 1991, this movie was made for $40 million.
Wow.
$40 million. And it made a total of $8 million in the box office. Eight.
Wow.
$40 million. This is a big budget movie.
This is, for that time, a huge budget movie.
Yeah.
So,
and if you get all those comedians together in that, they built that whole thing.
Yeah. They built all those contraptions. They must have built that whole
junkyard, CGI house,
everything. They built everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was the biggest joke was on the audience that you put five comedians in here and they have no jokes.
No jokes.
Oh my gosh.
Demi Moore, we didn't even, basically, have you noticed how little we've talked about Demi Moore?
Yeah, because she's nothing.
She's basically not in the movie. Yeah. She's awful.
I did like, though, and we played the clip, but when she does that crazy baby voice back to the
to the Garbage Pail Boys.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a choice of hers, or do you think
I'm so curious about that.
Do you think she was like, I
gotta ingratiate myself.
The craziest thing about this movie, in my opinion, was I was looking around online, I was like, I couldn't find anyone bad-mouthing it. It just doesn't exist.
Any of them, you mean?
Yeah, like no one ever has interviewed them about it. No one's ever brought it up to them. It just disappeared. This movie just, no one even knows it existed.
By the way, I just want to say one other thing. Why is it called Nothing But Trouble?
Because they keep on getting
the whole house is
Nothing But Trouble. Yeah.
Every time you turn around,
it's nothing but trouble.
Nothing But Trouble.
That seems to be the only thing that makes sense.
I kind of wish it was Nothing But Trouble, N-U-T-T-I-N apostrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wraps up another episode here. Steve, you are on the league with Jason and myself.
That's right.
And this will be anything else. You have your website, right? Which is Steve.
Oh, yeah. At Steve Renizzisi on Twitter. That's pretty much
it. Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Jason, you're still not on Twitter.
Nope. Not on Twitter, guys.
People want you to get a Twitter account called Not On Twitter. It is available. And they are telling me that I should tell you to do that. June, you are Miss June Diane.
That's correct.
I am Paul Scheer. You want to plug anything, June? You got some New Girls coming up?
A couple episodes of New Girl.
And you can always watch us on The League Thursdays at 10:30 on FX. Thank you to Cody being our engineer today, everyone at Earwolf, and everyone listening to the show. Thank you so much. And don't forget to rate and review us online. And if you haven't bought a t-shirt yet, you can definitely do that. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf's dead.
Hey everyone, it's Jessica St. Clair.
And Lennon Parham.
Hey assholes, it's me, John Gabris.
Lauren Lapkus here.
We just wanted to talk about one of our favorite podcasts to be on and to listen to, Improv for Humans.
I'm a huge Improv for Humans fan. I've done a number of episodes myself. A couple great memories. One of them was when I got to argue about whether bestiality was disgusting or not.
A lot of times it's you, me, and Mandzukas and Besser, and it's really old school, and there's something about not being on stage in front of an audience that makes you even crazier than you would be.
If I can recommend an episode to check out or a favorite memory from the podcast, I would say listen to some of the 420 episodes, because those are the ones I like to re-listen to, because I truly don't remember what I said.
Another great episode I loved doing was the Dan Deacon episode. I love his music and being able to sit like 1 foot away from him and watch him create amazing music was so cool.
That's what's cool is he gets people on for suggestions, yeah. often singers, songwriters.
Really great.
If you're a real fan of improv, even if you've never actually heard improv before, this is a great introduction. You can't get better improv comedians than who he has on his podcast.
Everyone needs to be listening to Improv for Humans. Come on!
New episodes every Thursday. Be sure to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. But I recommend Stitcher. They make me say that.